What's good? This is Logan Murdoch. I'm here with Dieter Kurtenbach for Warriors HQ podcast. How are you doing, Dieter?
I'm good, man. It's rainy in the Bay. It's kind of miserable outside, to be totally honest. I'm excited for winter to end.
Are you in Oakland, Oregon right now?
It feels like it. It feels like it for sure. That is it. Though I think it's like totally snowed out in Oregon, so I appreciate that we don't have that going on.
Yeah, but I do want to say this. I think that it's funny. From last week when we recorded to now, there's been so much going on in Warriorland. Also, we thought that the season was, like the regular season at least, was almost over with, do you remember that this weekend?
It felt like it. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it all revolves around one dude though, which is the insane part. It feels like everybody else has kind of got their act figured out. And then
which one, I mean, dude? I have one dude that I have in mind.
I know what you're talking about, and I think we're on the same page, but we still got 7 weeks left of this, and there's a lot of times for things to go terribly wrong, as it looked like it might have happened on Saturday. A lot of time for things to get on the right track. But let's just jump into it. I mean, who's your dude?
My dude was Draymond Green. Who was your dude?
I was talking about Boogie, because it seems like everything we do on a daily basis just revolves around sort of being on Boogie watch, whereas Draymond looked fine. Like,
No, because we remember this weekend we thought Draymond might have been out a little.
Oh, I thought he was dead. I thought he had straight up left this earth.
My thing is, the reason why my guy was Draymond was because, you know, If Boogie has no help defensively, it's all bad. Like, it starts with Draymond Green, and how we saw this season when he was out, how bad that was. And we thought he was going to be out an extended period of time. So I think that Draymond being out would infinitely hurt DeMarcus's chances going forward. He is not out. He is fine. He wound up playing the next game after both me and you thought he was done.
Yeah, it looked really rough in the moment. I mean, Steve Kerr didn't notice right away, but in that moment, when he goes down to the floor, you're just seeing, you know, a 6 to 8 week recovery, which puts you right at the beginning of the playoffs, and your mind just immediately goes to the worst spot.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I mean,
isn't it interesting though, how you're like, well, if Draymond's out, then Boogie stands no chance. Like, it is about Boogie. It's all about Boogie.
Yeah, that's true. But I just thought that, like, but I think the Warriors' success also depends on whether Draymond's in the lineup, right? Because if Draymond's not in the lineup, everything just goes haywire. Like, if Draymond wasn't playing in that Charlotte game, I mean, it's kind of...
Yeah, who the hell knows how that goes?
So, like, they can afford... The Warriors, I think, can't afford for the time being, you know, DeMarcus going through his ups and downs. But I don't know if they can afford Draymond being out for an extended period of time. I mean, I would obviously love to hear your thoughts on that, but that's my look on it right now.
You don't have to do any convincing of me. Draymond Green is the Steph Curry of defense. Like, though either of those guys go out, either Steph or Draymond go out, and the Warriors aren't the Warriors. Yeah. Even Kevin goes out, and you still have sort of that same Warrior verve. Clay misses a game. Yeah, it sucks, and you're looking for scoring, you know, ancillary scoring, but, like, you're still the Warriors. Steph goes out, you don't look anything like the Warriors on the offensive end. And Draymond goes out, and the entire defense more or less crumbles, even with a guy like Andre Iguodala getting minutes. And Andre is, by all accounts, a defensive genius. So, yeah, you don't have to convince me that if Draymond goes out, that the paradigm changes for the Golden State Warriors. And yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a pessimist. That was the first thing that went through my head the second that Draymond goes down, which is, I think I turned to you and just said, well, season's over.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to get into your Twitter drafts, but you thought this was pretty bad. You know what I'm saying? You thought this was pretty bad.
Let's be honest about what happened. It was a weird, like, sort of, it was a kind of contact injury. And he goes down and he's yelling. Like, you can hear him yell on the sideline. Like, Draymond's a tough dude. That's not something that you just scoff at and say, oh, he'll be back for Charlotte. Like,
especially
I'm stunned. And then he played his butt off.
Especially going on a flight cross country. I for sure thought, even if it was bad, even if it wasn't bad, he wasn't going to play.
But let me put it to you this way. Draymond Green was never going to miss an opportunity to have a night off in Miami.
It's a fact.
And if you don't play in Charlotte, man, they're just not going to bring you. Like, you're not, it's like, well, you can come back and you can play. Cause you know, you go to Miami. Okay. Well, now you're definitely not going to get in a full night of recovery. Damn. And so
who likes symptoms, baby?
Exactly. Miami nightlife. Like, how bad is that Miami Heat team that they don't have an awesome home court advantage? And then, and then you go to Orlando and no one's like, oh man, got to get to Orlando.
Well, Nick Friedel is.
Well, yeah. Nick Friedel, cause he gets that Disney discount. But yeah, man. And then it's Philly and Embiid, and like, yeah, you're down for that. I guess maybe you come along for the trip for that one. But if it was something serious, like if Draymond wasn't playing against Charlotte, there's a very real sort of let's play this out where he doesn't show up for the whole week and we just see kind of where we're at on the end of it. So he played in Charlotte. That means he gets a night off in Miami, which means he's going to play maybe, maybe by the time you guys hear this, maybe he plays against the Heat, maybe not. But yeah, you can't miss that road trip. And even if it does mean you have to spend some time in Charlotte, and he played his butt off. Let's get into that. I mean, he was offensively solid, knocked down, I think, 6 of 8 shots, which is big for him. Obviously, not exactly a Draymond-esque performance. He had 6 turnovers, which is something that, you know, he has struggled with this season, but has gotten a lot better. Like, best in the NBA, better in recent weeks and months. I mean, he really turned that around from, he was at a historic rate of turning the ball over in the first couple of months of the season. That showed up a little bit. They were forcing a lot of passes against the Hornets, trying to play maybe too beautiful of basketball, which is, I guess, the downside of when you're trying to bring some joy back into the game. But defensively, I mean, that block of Kemba Walker, who else does that? Who else is on the perimeter banging with Cody Zeller or whichever, you know, other big man? It's just indiscernible big man Charlotte's running out there at any given time, on the block all game, just banging, pounding.
I have
all
a
day.
Quick side note that I just wanted. Yeah. You talked about how Draymond is amazing defensively, and it's crazy because I'm looking at it like Kevin has so many of has so many of the tools to do that, right? And he does show it in a lot of ways. And it's probably because he has more taxing on the offensive end. But for, man, sure. I just think that he just could do that. Sorry, I got a little tangent.
No. I'll just swing it into that. We'll just use that as a segue because, to be honest, I think Kevin Durant has taken his defensive game up a notch or two in recent weeks, and that's really changed a lot of things for the Warriors. Is you know, Steph was saying everybody needs to play with more joy, and Boogie's been struggling, and you know, Draymond is kind of complaining about bad practices and stuff. Like, KD has been,
I don't know, if
on Kevin's like a malicious with, tear.
Yeah, like you said, I don't know if Kevin's on a, like, playing with joy per se, but
no, he's playing with an anger. I mean, straight up Kevin Durant playoff mode. Nobody talk to me. Nobody look me in the eyes. I'm your new master.
Was one play in the game against Charlotte where he misses a dunk and then came back on the next possession and just, he did like a, he went against maybe like 2 or 3 people, just dunked both hands, and he did the swing through move that I always think I can do on 2K. And it was, I felt that one in my spirit.
Yeah. I mean, he was yelling at 3,000 miles away. We're like, damn, this man is not in a good headspace right now.
Yeah.
But he's just squaring up inferior opponents, which of course is everybody. And just, he's trying to make enemies out there, and he's doing a damn good job of it. It's really incredible. We saw this certainly last year in the playoffs. I don't know if it was as tapped into this level the first go around in the playoffs, save for the NBA finals. But last year, when Steph didn't start the playoffs with these guys, you saw it in that San Antonio series. He was just like, I'm out for blood. Like, I'm the man, I'm the dude here. It's happening every night. And you can either, you know, aid me or get the hell out of the way. He's doing that while the rest of the Warriors are trying to play with joy and do this beautiful basketball stuff.
It's
always been a really interesting juxtaposition. Obviously, with all the extra stuff that's going on around Kevin Durant, there's plenty of fodder to dig into. We've probably expunged our quota on that overall. But like, man, he's playing inspired basketball. I don't think it's playoff level in terms of like what he's been able to do in the past two playoffs for the Warriors, which has just been all worldly and arguably some of the great all time performances in the history of basketball, those playoffs. And I don't think it's as good as it was last season around Christmas, leading up into Christmas, when we were talking about him as defensive player of the year, even over Draymond. And he was also, you know, dropping 40 on skulls, but like it's up there. I mean, it is, this might be, however you want to categorize it, 3-4, it's in the pantheon of great Kevin Durant performances. And, man, it's again, this is something that I talk about a bunch. It kind of this juxtaposition of the Warriors way versus Kevin Durant's singular dominance. And both, you know, there's a lot of different ways to win basketball games. It's interesting to see a team have sort of two different manners and both of them be hyper elite.
I think the biggest
be both working at the same time is kind of crazy.
I think the biggest, to your juxtaposition, I think the biggest symbol of that juxtaposition was in game three of the finals last year, where he hits like a crazy three just to throw it away. And you see him stone face while Draymond is on one end
yelling at him.
And Steph is on the other just smiling. And he just has the coldest look on his face. And I don't even think he smiled during that possession at all. Like, I don't think he
smiled in the last like 4 weeks. For being totally honest, now I was going to write that yesterday, but well, I decided to
smile. We also don't know. We can't confirm whether he smiled when he has the towel over his face. We can't confirm that. So
it is interesting. He's been doing that for a while, and I always just thought like that kind of looks cool. And now this doesn't speak to my intelligence, but now I understand why he has that there.
Maybe he's doing the Kanye thing. Remember when Kanye used to like there was a stretch there whenever a camera would get him, he would like immediately go from smile to angry. Maybe that's like the reverse. So like when he wants to smile, he puts the cover over his face.
Now, I think it's more like a baseball pitcher covering up his mouth with his gloves so that you can't read lips of what, you know, he might be saying. I think that's really what's going on. Now, it doesn't really matter. It also looks badass. He looks like a Mortal Kombat character, but like
it's pretty tight. I can't lie. And then we saw the other day where he had where he drank water through the towel.
Oh man, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? Yo, he drunk his Gatorade through the towel. It was dope. Like it was like what?
I mean, technically, it's a porous that you can get through. I mean, you're able to breathe through it. You should be able to drink through it.
Stealth Kevin has been fascinating on so many different levels. Like,
do you think he had like a straw that he tried that out with first and eventually just decided to go through the towel? How nasty is that towel? Like, I know that he does a great job, but like, is that like a sweaty towel? Like, I don't know.
I don't know, man, but it is weird. I haven't seen this lately. Like Kevin has his routine where when he puts the towel on, he goes to the basket. He like away from the team during the timeouts, and then he'll go to the basket. He'll put the towel on like, you know, he's like fake like Black Zorro, and puts the towel on. And he just chills there, puts the water, like drinks the water as they're going through there, and then like I guess he gets his mind right. Then when the timeout is over, he'll go in back with the team. Like it's definitely interesting vibes in Kevin Durant world right now.
I'll throw it to you this way. Cause I don't like think it, cause that stuff we didn't notice until we had a reason to notice it. Right?
No. I'm not saying it on any
No. I don't think you're implying, but some people's minds will immediately go there because that's where your mind's going to go with Kevin Durant.
Disclaimer right to anyone that's listening to this podcast. I am not under any circumstances saying this.
He is gone. Just say it, Logan.
No, I am not Logan Kurtenbach. I am not saying this right now. I don't know, but I'm just saying that
every breadcrumb is pointing that direction. Just throwing that out there.
Every single one. But anyway, all I'm saying is just interesting. This is interesting. I'm not.
He is an interesting cat. He has been since day one. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And he's playing an inspired ball. I don't know if the Warriors are as a team. He's been kind of angry generally about the way they've been playing. He took his post-media blackout and then scorning, and now he's sort of turned. He's doing the press conferences every night, and all he kind of does is rally against how bad his team is playing, even when they were just on a total tear. And then when they finally lost, he was kind of like, "I thought we played well." So he's in an interesting headspace. Things are weird. Things are officially weird.
Things are weird.
I'm not sure we should have expected anything different given sort of the peak of weirdness that we had a couple weeks ago.
Are you saying the weirdness is peaking, Dieter?
I think I am. I think I am. I'll also say his game is peaking right now. So whatever vibe he's on, he should probably stick with it for the coming months.
You tweeted that out and I had a gift. You know, when you ever have, like, when someone has it and you feel like you've tweeted the response in your mind to someone, and then when you figure, like, no, I didn't tweet that out, and then, like, it's too late.
I don't know anything about that.
I had that when you said, when you tweeted out the Kevin Durant peaking. But
do you have the Draymond giving me the look?
Well, I was going to, but it was like, it was too much work. So, like, I was going to go to the, I have, like, you know how we are. We're very twisted in what we do on Twitter. I had it already, and I was going to screenshot and send it to you, but then I was just like, that's too much work. So it just didn't happen.
Well, I'm glad that you brought it up verbally. That really helps.
I mean, you know, anytime I can remind you about, you know,
anytime we can do our gifts in spoken word form, that's the way to do it.
Yes. I want to talk about DeMarcus. I know we can't go out of a podcast without talking about him, but I want to talk
about DeMarcus. I don't think we can go 5 minutes without talking about DeMarcus. I mean, he's the central figure in this comedy or tragedy or whatever the hell we're calling it.
The guy was plus 10 on Monday night, and
he was good.
Yo, he was good.
he was good. Okay.
He was good offensively. So it's hard to, like, just,
yes.
It's hard to say, like, because there were obviously a lot of defensive.
Kyle Singer went. Is it Kyle Singer? I don't know. Zeller, 13 for 13.
They don't all. Okay, the Dwight Duke bald. Zeller bald. It wasn't. It's not. Stop saying Singer. Anyway, he bald. And DeMarcus was doing the same thing that he did in the Houston game, where he is, you know, trailing back. He's just sinking so far back on that pick and roll and just giving 3 points. He just played really well offensively. And I just, that kind of canceled it out. So I think that, you know,
that's been what the Warriors have been hoping for, right? Like, that he's so good offensively that he's basically getting what he gives up, and then everybody else on the team just totally outplays everybody else. And the Warriors use their margin advantage there. My concern is that there is also an expectation that this defense is going to come around. Okay.
Is there?
It needs to be better than this. I think there's an expectation it's going to be better than this. And
okay, this is a good
question. I don't see any flashes. Whereas with the offense, it's getting better and better, and you can see the flashes, and it's just a gradual thing. And you can buy into this notion of DeMarcus Cousins being a 2010 guy every single night, because you see it, and you see him getting a little bit better, and you see him getting that drop step, and now you're seeing him elevate, and you're seeing him beating guys on the perimeter, and it's just a gradual thing where you go, oh, in 7 weeks, this dude could really get there. But on the defensive end, I have nothing to work with here.
Yeah, I just think that. And I think that's an interesting segue. What is serviceable defense for DeMarcus Cousins? What is that?
Where he doesn't have to sag, where he's just getting beat off the dribble on the perimeter so that his, you know, other guys can come and help out. Because there is an issue with sagging, right? If you just hang out in the lane, one, someone's going to call defensive 3 seconds at some point in this league. And two, you don't really allow space for help defense to come in. And if you're on the perimeter, especially in this game where everybody plays outside in out, where you're all just on the perimeter, drive, kick, and then you're looking for that 3-point shot. Okay. You get beat on the perimeter. Cool. You can just rotate over and you know, defend on those 3-point shots. Now a lot easier said than done, but at least you're in a decent position to do something, because everyone's trying to move away, trying to get the ball away from the hoop for some ungodly reason. And Draymond and Andre and Kevin can slide over, get in position, or Clay can slide over, get in position and make something happen. But teams, especially now with the playoffs looming and a lot of teams fighting for seeding or just their playoff lives in general, they're just going to run 1-5 pick and roll every single time with the Warriors starting lineup. They've always targeted Steph. Mm-hmm. Steph does a serviceable job, if not a little bit better, but now Boogie out there. And it's like, if Boogie's sagging, then it's Steph going up against two different dudes, and you have big men who can pick and pop. You have that, you know, third man screen that you can do. The offense gets to dictate the terms of engagement, where the Warriors have kind of always been able to put offenses into their own or sort of dictate what the offense is going to do, because Draymond can cover so much space, because Andre can cover so much space, and because Clay is such an elite on ball defender that you have to take out some of your playbook in order to get past the Warriors. Now, when you can see the full, you know, especially when you have a great point guard or you have a great center, that's all you need. You only need one of the two. Mm-hmm. And every team has one of the two, it seems like, especially if you're fighting for the playoffs. Man, you're just going to run the same play over and over again. 1-5 pick and roll, 1-5 pick and roll, 1-5 pick and roll. If Boogie has to come out on the perimeter, or if Boogie's capable of getting out on the perimeter and just sort of holding his own out there and keeping a dude in front and just going straight Kevon Looney, because no one's arguing Kevon Looney is some athletic freak. He's just disciplined and he'll stay in front and he's smart and he can move his feet a little bit side to side. That's all Boogie has to do, because it forced dudes to get jump shots as opposed to dunking every single time, because you're stuck in no man's land at best and you're hanging back at the rim at worst and you're not really doing anything there anyway. I think that's it. It's never going to be good, but it has to be a lot better than this, because this isn't even defense.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing though also with this is how they reconcile crunch time minutes, because we know Boogie wants to play time. Crunch time. We know that. And even, and what could arguably be his best, would you say Monday night was his best game that he's been since he's been back?
I really think that game against the Clippers, or that fourth quarter he had against Sabonis and the Pacers, like those were the two. I think the Clippers game might've been the damn best. Cause I mean, he dominated Gortat.
Well, in any event, okay. So yes, all right. Well,
it was up there.
It was up there, right?
It's in that argument for sure.
My point is, he didn't play the last 5 minutes of one of his best games of the year. Why? Because you know you needed to hold down that fort, and that's going to be something in the playoffs. If he gives you 20 and 11, but doesn't, is he going to be okay with giving someone 20 and 11 and not playing the last 5 minutes because they need to close this game out? I think that's one of the biggest things that we're going to have to see going forward.
I think that's called a tough break. I mean, and that's an issue of the Warriors having an abundance of talent to where you can actually. On closing lineups. If he doesn't like it, he should play better defense.
Well, yes, but I'm just saying.
Maybe that's me being like super libertarian basketball mind, but like.
Well, yeah, but you're also dealing with personalities in that way. I mean, is he going to be able to figure that out? Are they going to be able to be good on that? You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to just say it, but also like, you know.
No, you're 1,000% right on that. Let me throw this at you, and I want to hear your take. Boogie basically has this restrictor plate from going full Boogie. The Boogie we saw in Sacramento, the Boogie that we even saw a little bit in New Orleans, where it's this full personality. I'm the best player on the team, or you know, I'm a leader on this team, and it's kind of my way or the highway. And it just drags out a little bit because he knows he's here for 1 year. He knows that everything he does is going to be scrutinized by people who are going to look to give him 9 figures this offseason. I think Kerr is actually working that to his advantage, which doesn't lend itself well for any thought of maybe Boogie coming back for the cheap on one more year. But what's Boogie going to do? He can't openly complain. He's got to put up with this for another 12, you know, 15, 16 weeks. If he doesn't like it, I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year. He can go anywhere he wants, as long as they're willing to give him a contract. I don't think that the Warriors are going to give him too much deference in that regard. I thought it was ridiculous how much deference they gave him in starting him in the first place. That's something I talked about. I know we talked about it a bunch. Like,
but there's also a balance of like, you know, saying, well, you can leave in free agency. And also, you also want him. You also want his mind on, and you want him engaged, right? Because you're going to have him for however many games that you're going to have him. You don't want to say, you know, you don't want to alienate him to start it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think anyone's alienating him. I mean, he doesn't play good enough defense to have him on the court in crunch time unless you have a very specific matchup, the likes of which I'm not really familiar with right now.
Yeah, but still, like, taking him off the bench, it's just a matter of, you know, you say this the whole time. Like, when they signed him, they said, I think Kerr's direct quote was, no offense to Jordan Bell, Damian Jones, and hopefully Kevon, like, Boogie starting. You can't just say that the first thing, and then you can't say that the first time you get him, right, when you sign him, and then just go back on your word. Like, that's just not – I mean, I get it. Like, I mean, you could have put him off the bench, but I mean, you still want to have him engaged and playing. You know what I mean? You still want to be true to your word. And I think that that's why they did it. I mean,
but like closing is a lot different than starting. If you start and you suck, you can get pulled within 2-3 minutes. And you still started the game. Closing, I mean, that's crunch time. And we talk about this a bunch. Like, don't tell me who your starting lineup is. Tell me who your closing lineup is. And right now, there's no argument that says DeMarcus Cousins should be part of that for the Golden State Warriors. Like, even on a night, as you mentioned, he's balling out and he's having a great night. Like, it's not good enough. It just straight up wasn't good enough to be on the court in that situation, because especially in crunch time, because I'm talking about just throughout the game and throughout most games, there's sort of this deference to aesthetically pleasing basketball, right? Unless you're the Houston Rockets, you want to run a bunch of different plays. You want to give them a bunch of different actions. You don't want to be repetitive and rote, unless you're, again, the Rockets and you're just going to run the same damn play every single time. But crunch time, no one gives a damn. The Warriors will run Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, pick and roll 6 straight possessions in crunch time if they're down. Every other team will do the same thing. You're going to run your best stuff in that moment. And your best stuff is typically whatever the thing that the opposing defense doesn't want you to do is. And when DeMarcus Cousins is out there, he might as well have that zero might as well be a target that says, put me in pick and roll, until he proves that he can just force you to a different action. He's getting run. He got 30 plus minutes. He's starting every single quarter until he can prove that he's good enough to at least make teams think about putting him in pick and roll. Just make them think about it. Make them not do it every single play. There's no reason for him to be in there in crunch time, especially when you have Draymond, who's somehow healthy given that injury. When you have a guy like Andre Iguodala, and even Looney, and even a guy like Alphonso McKinney, who can give you decent crunch time minutes, at least from a rebounding and energy and defensive mindset, and Sean Livingston. Like, you just have a lot of different guys in a league that, frankly, you don't need a true center out there in crunch time minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's still a work in progress, but I think it could be fruitful for both sides if they say, yo, you can get your minutes in the playoffs, at least you can get your minutes, get your buckets offensively, and we're going to go with this lineup, 5 minutes left.
I think you're right, though, in the thought of that's something to keep an eye on in the coming days, weeks, because especially a game against Orlando, I don't think it's going to come down to crunch time, or like a game against Miami. Like, those games don't mean
really Miami, anything. Miami, you never know.
Like, those games don't really mean anything to the Warriors. So the question is, you know, if you do have crunch time minutes, or you do have winning time moments, throw Boogie out there. See how the shoe fits. And at least then you have some ammunition for if Boogie's complaining, well, I'm not getting crunch time minutes. It's like, shall we watch the Miami tape again? But you got to find out what you have between now and the beginning of the playoffs. I know that the Warriors are very confident that the 7 weeks now is a lot of time to figure that out and get him to 100% and all that. I'm not of that mindset. I just need to see it to believe it. I don't have a lot of faith in a lot of things, and the least of which being a 270-pound man coming back from an Achilles injury and getting back to some semblance of 100%. So, man, it will be really interesting. I there's really no other storyline. I mean, Kevin Durant's leaving.
We tried. Hey, we tried.
I know. I tried.
I have one more question for you.
Okay.
There's a lot of things going on in the bottom half of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Who's in that 8th seed?
So right now, what are the teams that we're considering for said 8th seed? We're talking about the Clippers, we're talking about the Kings, and we're talking about the Lakers. Do we want to add anybody else to that fray?
Well, since Minnesota is up percentage points on the Lakers right now, let's just put Minnesota in. We have to put Minnesota in.
This is not a mind exercise that I have gone through. I want nothing to do with Minnesota in May or April. April? Damn.
Yeah,
Come on, man.
Listen. Blame
Minnesota
LeBron.
In like May or June. I mean, not June, but like May. Like, at least it's nice out. It's
bro. The Clippers are 7th, so like the Clippers aren't even like.
Damn it!
So right now in the 8th seed for battle of the 8th seed. Right now, yeah. I guess you can put the Clippers in there. We'll see. Put the Clippers in there. Whatever.
There.
Clippers, Spurs, Kings, Spurs. Timberwolves, only because we have to, and the Lakers.
Man, I don't know if I was telling you or telling somebody else. Someone said, who's going to be in the Western Conference Finals like a week ago? And I'm like, Lakers, because I won't bet against LeBron. And you look at the rest of the West and you're like, I don't know who's going to beat LeBron. And it's not exactly a murderer's row outside of the Warriors. Man, Lakers are a mess. And LeBron looks washed right now. Like, yes. No nice way to put that. Like, these are looking like the Wizards years from MJ in real time. Jeez. It's really bad. And him going off on his young teammates about distraction and stuff. It's like, dude, you announced Space Jam 2 this week. Like, are you kidding me? It's not ideal down there, but man,
who are we going to make a decision?
If the Clippers are locked in at 7, I'll take the Lakers at 8, but I want Sacramento.
You want a trip to Los Angeles.
I'm good. Here's the thing. If the Lakers get in, man, if the Lakers get in, I bet that somehow through some magic, they'll get the 7 seed.
Yeah.
And then they play, what would it be, Denver, if things hold?
Like, and I think they can beat Denver. I think,
yeah, exactly. That's sure. My point. Like, that's what I'm saying about like the murderer's row. It's like, man, Denver is the second best team in the Western Conference. Like, is there any team that you're like, Denver's definitely beating them? Like, you put the Kings there. It's like, I don't know who's going to win that series. Denver's just, you know, kind of in the mix with everybody else. So you get, if I'm LeBron, and that's a big logical leap there. I'm looking at this and I go, not only do I need to get into the playoffs, I want to get into the other side of the Western Conference bracket from Golden State so that I don't have to face them early. I want them in the Western Conference Finals because, again, this is about narrative and stuff. Like, LeBron loses to Warriors in Western Conference Finals with the Lakers. That is a massive accomplishment with this team.
Yes.
And there's really, I mean, the only thing holding him back is his inability to run or play defense and his entire team's total toxicity and, you know, 4 other teams. I mean, there's really nothing standing in the way. but like, man, I can still see it. I can still see it. And then that gives us, if we're really just being, you know, rude and talking about the playoff matchups, that sets up Sacramento, that sets up Portland, that sets up a lot of good stuff because Denver shouldn't really. It's Oklahoma City and Portland are the only two teams in the West that I think the Warriors would even look towards. What do you got?
Lakers are making the playoffs and the Kings are going to get that 8th seed.
I'm for it. That'd be hilarious. I'm there just for the content.
Just for the content. Boom. That's my prediction.
Is this your king? Prediction? I think the Lakers get the 7 seed.
And your dream scenario is the Lakers getting the 7 seed and the Kings getting the 8 seed. So you can get the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals.
Nah.
And you can get that Sacramento first round. You want to take the train to Sacramento. You want to take the train.
No, because I can't walk to the train anymore in my new place. So that would require a whole thing. No. I'm closer to the Oakland airport now. So I'm about Clippers in the first round, Lakers in the finals, Portland in between. I'm on that 90-minute flight vibe right now.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, I have the Lakers not making the playoffs. You have the Lakers making the playoffs as a 7 seed going into the Western Conference Finals. All right. Well,
we're going to have to figure out a wager on that.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
When we're in Los Angeles for the Warriors Lakers 4-game series in the Western Conference Finals, that's an expense report meal on you or me.
Where are we going?
It's a terrible bet because it's not our money.
Are we doing Tom's Urban or are we doing,
We're talking about the fine culinary choices at LA Live.
Yes. Yeah. Where are we doing?
How about this? How about
ESPN Zone?
Oh man. They still have ESPN zones, man.
No, they have. Did they have an
ESPN zone in San Francisco?
I feel like they did when they first started. Yeah.
They had one next to Michael Jordan's restaurant in Chicago where I grew up. And you want to talk about birthday parties for 12-year-olds. That was the spot. Just like NFL blitz.
Hold on. I'm checking right now. ESPN.
They had one in Baltimore.
No,
because I remember Mel Kiper Jr. always did his hits from the Baltimore ESPN zone, which I always thought was like the saddest
They made it just for him. They made the ESPN zone just for him so he could do his hits out there.
There's a certain part of me that like wonders, like ESPN zone was like a fairly useful thing for like this day and age in media, when instead of having to go and sit at some, you know.
Okay. I got it.
Did they have one?
Smash Burger, because that's where the ESPN zone is. Smash Burger at LA Live.
No, man. How about we just pay individually out of our own pocket for an Uber or a Lyft to actually get somewhere decent?
You hating on Smash Burger?
I'm not hating on Smash Burger. I'm just saying that we can do better.
There's Fleming Steakhouse, but okay. No, we're journalists. Come on, stop it. Anyway, you're on. We will figure out the specifics. There will be.
Listen, as LeBron works his way up, I can't believe I'm standing for LeBron here. As LeBron works his way up those Western Conference standings and climbs the ladder that will define his career and gets to that 7 seed, we will figure this wager out.
All right. See you soon, buddy.
Later, Luke.
All right.